I've got to finish or get deeper into this series on clarification, because what's happened since we started this about 3 months ago, the 100-plus CDs that we send out from here have got out there now, and I'm beginning to get calls from people telling me what it means to them and how they're stirred up about it. And I think sometimes it means more to them than it does to us here. I don't know why, but I get more comments from out there. And these comments that started coming in last week come from the ministers out there, because some of their people hear the tape, the CDs, then they get them back. And I've been very pleased that they come back and said, "Brother Green, this is needful. Amen. This is something that's needed."
Yes, right.
And I tell my wife, it looks like that every time I start something like this, it creates another controversy. But, you know, I guess that's really the only way to clarify something, is that there'd be no need to clarify it if somebody didn't have something wrong about it to start off with.
Amen.
And I don't enjoy being different. I don't pride myself in it. But I believe that we should be careful to say what Brother Branham says.
Amen.
And not interpret it, and not to speak about it and say, "Well, it means this or it implies this." Because I hear Brother Branham very plainly say in the seals, don't do that. You'll put yourself right out of the economy of God. And it seems like that the subject I've gotten on now is about the rapture, the coming of the Lord, whether it be the first, second, or third. I was quite surprised to find out that not everybody believed in three comings. I found out very quickly that some, they only believe in two. And I've gotten letters that says there's five. And it's sort of like marriage and divorce. Brother Branham says that the Bible question is a Bible answer. I don't believe there's two interpretations of marriage and divorce. I just said it wasn't so in the beginning. People ask me what to do about it. I just tell them, well, the only way you can be sure you don't get a divorce is never get married. They don't like that. They don't like my interpretation, my application of that. But it's the same thing about the coming of the Lord. There's only one going to happen in our generation. But there's many ways that that people are looking for it, or say it's already happened, or different times. And I think there's only one correct answer to it.
Amen.
Now, when I look at this and I see what Brother Branham said about it, of course, if you're going to talk about the rapture, which I believe is the second coming of the Lord, naturally we would go to the tape rapture.
Sure.
Because Brother Branham says that. And if you want to talk about the seals, that will... 43 times after the seals, Brother Branham says he was looking for the coming of the Lord. So he was expecting something to happen. And on December the 4th, 1965, in the last week of the series of sermons, he preached this sermon entitled Rapture. And I was there. And if you'll listen to the tape, you'll find out I was there, because he talked about me. He said that... Well, that's where I went out and complained to the man about the potatoes being so hot, and I was blowing my tongue because it's peppered. I come back in, and I had said to the man I was talking to out there at the desk, because I'd gone out to get the music to turn down, because they'd played the music was still playing in the ballroom where Brother Branham was trying to speak, and I was blowing my tongue. The man asked what's wrong, and I said, "Boy, that chef back there must be a Spanish man or something, because he sure got those potatoes hot." Well, he turned out to be the chef. So when Brother Branham found out about it, he said something about that Texan, you know. So we did that. But something else was happening that night during that meeting. And we were in this rented room, this dining room, and they were scheduled to have another event that night. You see, it was getting close to Christmas. December the 4th, and it was the nicest motel, hotel, conference, dining room in Yuma. And they had booked it for somebody else because they were accustomed to people coming in and having the banquet and then leaving. And upon that condition, the businessmen had rented it because there wasn't going to be any drinking or party or dance after these other things coming in. There's going to have liquor and dancing, and it was going to be a midnight party, and it was starting at 10 o'clock. Well, they had to clear the room and then set it up for these other people to come in. So at 9 o'clock, when the businessman had just more or less let Brother Brown get in the pulpit, the management and everybody else started coming to the door. And Brother Branham standing up in the front, he could see them every time they came to the door. Get out of here.
Right.
Well, if you will listen to the tape, you can tell almost every time somebody comes to that door, because Brother Branham said, I'm closing now, and he speeds up the speed with which he's speaking.
Right.
And I personally say this, I'm not being critical, but I don't think Brother Branham was satisfied with the way he delivered that sermon that night. So much so that he gave instructions for it not to be released.
Right.
Now, how many of you knew that?
Amen.
And as a result, that sermon was not released until April of 66. And when it was first printed in 66 or 67, whenever Brother Borders got permission to print it, he abridged it. That means he grammarized it.
Right.
He didn't say exactly what Brother Branham said. And there are some statements in that book, Volume 1, Number 7, that are just not correct. It was Brother Borders' opinion. It was the way Brother Borders interpreted what Brother Branham said. Now, that message was released in April, at the time of the internment of Brother Branham, but it was not reprinted for 5 years. And so people all over the world read the rapture sermon from Volume 1 with all of the statements that are incorrect. One of them is where Brother Branham talks about the coming of the watch. You know, the first watch, the second watch, and Brother Branham talks about the watch between 6 and 9. He said that's the third watch, and he believed the Lord would come between 6 and 9. He said now three threes. And they put in the book imperfect, I-M-P-E-R-F-E-C-T, imperfect number. Well, when I heard the tape, I said the spoken word then, and everybody in town, that Brother Branham said three threes, that's imperfect, I-N, imperfect number.
Right. Yeah.
And there was a controversy arose about it in this city. And I made this suggestion that we take some children who had no opinion about what Brother Branham said. They were not trying to establish a doctrine. And their ears were better than ours. And let children hear it and tell us what they hear. Do they hear imperfect, like three threes, that's imperfect number, or three threes, nine, imperfect number? And every one of the children come back and said, he's saying they're imperfect number.
Yes.
In other words, three threes. So there was just one word, but it changes the meaning of what Brother Branham said. Now, there is one particular portion of that tape that has become a very established fact in most people's minds. And that's where Brother Branham says that there are three things that must happen before the Lord appears. Now, I want to play that for you tonight and let you see that. But he talks about the shout, the voice, the trumpet. But I want you to see how Brother Branham says it. He doesn't name them in that order. He even gives the wrong verse of Scripture. Not 1 Thessalonians. He said 2 Thessalonians. And if you'll listen to the tape and you can hear it in Brother Brown's voice, that's about the time somebody shows up in the door. And excuse me, but he is the prophet of God. And you may think he's infallible, but Brother Brown said he wasn't.
Right.
Now, first of all, this is based on First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. How long has it been since you read it? Do you know what it really says? Verse 15 in particular says, Paul says that, I say this by the word of the Lord. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Now I need to talk to you about that statement right there. What is the word of the Lord? You know, many times when Paul is writing, he says, as it is written, or as the prophet Isaiah, or as Jeremiah, he quotes something that he knew from the Old Testament. Now remember, he didn't have the New Testament because he wrote 2/3 of it himself,
right,
under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. But when Paul makes the statement, I say this unto you by the word of the Lord, the statements that's made in those verses, can you give me a statement of Jesus Christ saying those things? The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we shall be caught up to meet him in the air. And is there some place that Jesus said that? Now, if you will look at this statement of Paul by the word of the Lord, and let me give you a comparison. You know, when Brother Branham was preaching, sometimes he said, now I'm not saying this of myself. This is the word of the Lord. Now, where did Brother Branham get that? When he says that he's doing that, somewhere or another, God has given him a vision or has had an angel come to him. You know, Paul did believe in angels. Remember on board the ship, when an angel come and stood by Paul that night and told him, said, "Don't, the ship would be lost, but if you make everybody stay here, nobody will be lost." And when the ship got in trouble, they wanted to start leaving, and he told the centurion, look, I'm telling you, by what happened this night, an angel stood by me. And you and I know that when Brother Branham's preaching and he'll come along and he'll say, thus saith the Lord, you know that has an effect on you. It's not just Brother Branham talking and preaching and teaching. When he says, thus saith the Lord, we all stop and say, there's something different happened here. Now, I've asked brothers all over the world, what do you think happened when Brother Branham would say, thus saith the Lord? Did he see something written on a wall like they did in the Old Testament? Or did Brother Branham stand there and have a vision and he saw that? Many times that was the case. If like in the film, Eva York, he saw her when he told her how sick she was and doctor telling her she's going to die, and he saw the doctor in a white coat, and he said, you're going home to be well. Well, now, there wasn't any doubt in Brother Branham's voice about that.
Right.
Now, what I believe happened is that Brother Branham was looking at Eva York, and he must have had a vision of the front door of her house or her mailbox or something that said, you live in this city at 613 York Street. He saw something. And Brother Branham knew that if he saw that vision, it didn't matter to him if it was right then or 10 years away. That was thus saith the Lord to him.
Amen.
How many of you understand that?
Yes.
So we today take this for Brother Branham that maybe an angel told him this is going to happen. Or he saw a vision. Or do you think Brother Branham just standing there and all of a sudden inspiration hit him and he said that? But, you know, it can happen many ways, but I want to challenge your thinking about this one, because Paul says, we say this by the word of the Lord. Now, where did Paul get this thing that he'll say, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. I want you to know this is going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
That the Lord himself is going to descend. Now, you and I read the King James Version, and we read it, and we take that, and to us, that's gospel. But I have this Bible here. This is 26 different translations of the Bible. A friend of mine I went to Bible school with, his dad did this. And we bought these things by the hundreds and given them to the ministers that come here. Because, you know, Brother Branham talks about the different translations of the Bible. And there's 26 different translations. And this book happens to have all 26 of them right there together. When you read this, the print that's the boldest is the King James Version. And then if there's any difference in anybody else's translation, it will have it printed right underneath it, and it will have a code, and you can tell whether it was the Moffat or the Lamson or the new the revised edition and what it was. And the ministers enjoy it because they can lay one book in front of them and they can read it, and then they can read all the other translations they have. And that's the reason I'm using this tonight with you. Now, I don't know Greek. I can say the alphabet in Greek because I took one semester of it. I don't know Hebrew, but you see, the Old Testament is written in Aramaic, and the New Testament was written in Greek, and I believe that itself was the sovereignty of God. Now, there are some things happening right now in the world that because we don't know Aramaic or Hebrew or Greek, I can't explain it to you. But, you know, every time we have a new president, I think Ronald Reagan, they come along and they said his number was 666 because he had three names and six letters in each name, so 666 made him the Antichrist. With Clinton, there was some other thing, and with Hitler, there was some other thing. But there's one now that is a first. We've never had a president before that had a name from the Middle East. We've got Barack Hussein Obama. And those names have a meaning. How many of you understand that? I don't know enough about Aramaic to do this. I don't know enough about Greek or Hebrew to do this. But my wife showed me something this morning that I'd like for you people to see. It's about 4 minutes and 13 seconds long. And it's explaining Barack Hussein Obama's name. So we'll let you hear that right now.
Did Jesus really reveal the name of the Antichrist? I will report the facts. You can decide. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus said these words, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from the heavens." These words are written in Greek and translated to English. However, Jesus spoke these words originally in Aramaic, which is the most ancient form of Hebrew. As you know, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. If a modern Jewish rabbi were to speak these words of Jesus today, he would speak them in Hebrew, much the same way that Jesus would have spoken them. So in Hebrew, Jesus said that he saw Satan falling as lightning from the heights or from the heavens. So what are the words for lightning and heights or heavens in Hebrew? From the Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, word number 1299, a primitive root word meaning to lighten or lightning or to cast forth, the word is barak. In the Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, word number 1300, lightning, or by analogy a gleam, a flashing sword, or a brightness or a glittering, the Hebrew word is barak. So lightning, or a flash of light, in Hebrew is pronounced barak or barak. Now consider this amazing fact. The book of Isaiah is the source of origin for the Christian concept and understanding of Satan, or Lucifer, as Isaiah calls him, in chapter 14, especially in verses 12 through 19. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14, Lucifer, or Satan, is credited with these words, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." In the verses of Isaiah that refer directly to Lucifer, several times it is mentioned that Satan has fallen from the heights or from the heavens. The Hebrew word used in this text for the heights from which Satan fell is Strong's Hebrew word 1116, pronounced Bama. Bama is most commonly used to refer to a high sacred place, as well as to the heights of the heavens or the clouds. In Hebrew, the letter wa is often transliterated as a U. Some scholars use the O for this transliteration. It is primarily used as a conjunction to join concepts together. So to join in Hebrew poetry the concept of lightning or barak and a high place like heaven or the heights of heaven, the letter U, or sometimes O, the Hebrew letter wa, would be used. So, barak Obama, or Barak Ubama, in Hebrew poetry, similar to the style written in Isaiah, would translate literally as lightning and the heights or the heavens, or lightning from the heights of the skies or the heavens. The word Satan is Satan in Hebrew, a direct translation. So back to Jesus' prophecy. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18, if spoken by a Jewish rabbi today, influenced by the poetry of Isaiah, he would say these words in Hebrew, the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, as, and I saw Satan as Barak Obama. Did Jesus reveal to us the name of the Antichrist? I report. You decide.
Unbelievable. I don't know what that does to you, but I've told you before that if anything stirs you up to make yourself ready, it doesn't hurt you. But is this a coincidence? Or can we see the spirit of the Antichrist? We've never had a president or an emperor or a leader before that name fits like that one does in the scriptures.
Right.
Now, I can't repeat that to you, but I've heard it three times now, and I can say I understood a little bit more of it this time than I did the first two times. Jesus said, I saw Satan, Barak Obama.
Yeah.
That meant that he saw Satan falling from the heights as lightning. That's the words that would have come out of the mouth of Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think anybody made this up. But in the same way, I think people have misinterpreted what Paul wrote by the word of the Lord, because they had a preconceived thought that they wanted to believe. You take the people who want to believe that the rapture has already happened, and this didn't just start in 63. There's been people who've been believing this since the 50s. Because they wanted to believe that Brother Branham was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And therefore they have taken any statement that they could to prove that the rapture has already taken place. Now, in the rapture tape, Brother Branham makes some statements. And I want to make sure that you understand what Brother Green's trying to do tonight. You see, when Paul said, as it is written, you'll hear Brother Branham say, the Bible says so. You ever heard him say that?
Amen.
Paul would say, as Isaiah said, or as the prophet Jeremiah said. And we know the Bible teaches that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that these words were not written by the will of men. but holy men, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, wrote these words. You and I believe that about Brother Branham's message. Some believe it to the point that they won't take what the Bible says. They take what they think Brother Branham said. And maybe they'll say the same word he said, but they don't have the same meaning in the light of the Scriptures. And I've told you people before that out of everything that Brother Branham ever said to me personally, the thing that I am the happiest that he said to me was, Brother Green, keep your balance in the Scriptures. I don't think you find anything that Brother Branham brought that was outside the Scriptures. Brother Branham said, I have always preached what the Bible said. Therefore, he's never had to take anything back. So if you've got Brother Branham saying something that the Bible says the opposite of, you've got the understanding of what Brother Branham said wrong.
Amen.
You can't change the Bible.
Right.
And you don't want to come along and say Brother Branham was wrong. So somewhere or another, you've got your interpretation of what you think Brother Branham said wrong. If you find yourself taking Brother Branham and putting him in conflict with the message. For example, very simple, and like the number 707,000. I know people who will argue with you today that the Bible's wrong. The prophet straightened it out. When Brother Branham himself said, I misspoke it. Not once, but many times he said it. When Brother Branham makes a statement, now I'm not saying this of myself. This is the word of the Lord. When Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord. Did the angel of the Lord come to Brother Branham any? There was a time when Brother Mattson, Bose, and them came to Brother Branham and said, Bill, did the angel of the Lord tell you to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? What was Brother Branham's answer? Anybody remember? He said, if he'd have told me anything different, I wouldn't have believed him.
Right. Amen.
Because that's what the Bible said.
Right.
When Paul says, though one come to me, though it was an angel from heaven, I wouldn't believe him. So what became the absolute, the final absolute in Paul's understanding in the Old Testament Scriptures? And what did he find? We find Brother Branham's absolute to be. I like Brother Branham's quote book, don't you? He quoted the Bible. There are many people that they don't quote the Bible. They quote what Brother Branham said, and then they interpret what they wanted to say because that's what they believe. Now, since I'm trying to clarify things, I've come to the conclusion that some of these things I'm not going to be able to work on unless I create enough confusion to make everybody sincere enough to look and see, is it possible I'm wrong? Look at marriage and divorce. I think Brother Branham shocked us all. I believe Brother Branham had the truth and the revelation of marriage and divorce for 20 or 25 years. But he knew when he preached it, it was going to tear some people up.
Sure.
So why didn't Brother Branham give it to us 20, 25 years before he did? He waited until God gave him permission that day he visited up here, February the 6th.
Amen.
Permission to tell us to stay as we are and forgive us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because he knew what he'd do if he got up and told what the truth was. But not until Brother Branham got permission like Moses did, when God gave him the right to grant the people a writ of divorcement. Brother Branham got permission from God when that pillar of fire came down up here.
Yes.
To tell us what the truth was, but if your life was all messed up, stay as you are, but don't do it again. God will forgive you for it. But I know people who won't apply that today. I would like to say this because I believe this to be true. Brother Paul Dirksen, Brother Don Dirksen's second son, who pastors a church up at Canistino, has printed a collection of quotes and scriptures. The quotes are from Brother Brown's message. And I think that Brother Paul Dirksen has done a master of a job. And if there's anybody who's got a question in your life because you've got some scars, because you've got some entanglement and got some confusion, and you don't have an answer to the circumstances in your life, I'd recommend you read the publication that Brother Paul Dirksen has published. Do we have any of those in the office? I don't see Sandra. Is she here? I don't know whether we've ordered them or not, but I know I've got two copies of it. But we haven't ordered them. Let's get a hold of them and let's know and get some in the office, because I know after this announcement there's going to be some people who want them. I don't know how many Paul preached, but how many he wrote or published, but I have to say that when I read it, I wept, because I think it's about a thorough, balanced job, difficult task as it is. And wherever I go in the world, and they have ministers meeting, that's always the number one question. Marriage and divorce. Even about the illegitimacy. I think I mentioned that last week. Until I came out and said, I think we need to take another look at the seals. Now then, whenever I go someplace, that's the first thing they want to get after me about, is about the seals. And you know what? I'll discuss the seals with anybody if you'll say what Brother Branham said. And say all that he said. Not just your favorite quotes, but all that he said. And when Brother Branham says, the seventh seal, he did not show it to me, you have to say that one too. When I've shown that to some brothers, right after they've preached about the seventh seal, I show it to them and I says, what do you do with that one? They say, well, it is written, but they won't discuss it. Look, if there's a question and people you're going to spend eternity with are involved, why not talk about it? Why not look at everything? You know what? If you're wrong, you should want to find out about it. You shouldn't want to just continue on. You've got some self-pride somewhere. Sunday morning when I had Brother Branham speak that last 10 minutes that we had there, the reason that meant so much to me is that sometimes you don't want to be controversial all the time. But Brother Branham in that one, Way of a True Prophet, he talks about what Micaiah did. He had to have the courage to cry out against it when he thought it was wrong. And a lot of people don't want to do that. I've got my mind made up, so don't confuse me with the facts. Like the thing we say about the cloud. I've had brothers tell me, what do you want to bring that up for? We've got enough to confront us out there now. Well, if it's not true what you're saying, you should want to correct it. God will protect His own word. Not what somebody else interprets about it, but what does God's word say about it? Now, since I've introduced the controversy, the rapture is a catching away. The word's not in the Bible. But Brother Brown very plainly says it's a catching away. And he uses parables like the magnet in the metal shop, in the machine shop, catching them away. He talks about such a sweep of the Holy Ghost coming to just snatch us off of this earth. But yet the Bible talks about it. It's a secret. It's nobody will know it. It's something that we need to watch and pray for. It's something we're expecting. Since I've been looking at that this week, I've been surprised at how many times Brother Branham introduces the thought of astronauts. And the one I started this off with about it being an old story. He said, I don't care how many astronauts they send up there. Well, why did the thought of astronauts come into Brother Branham's thinking when he's talking about the rapture?
Right.
There's going to be a time, and it says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be gone. Now, I asked Janice today if she could tell me the length of the twinkling of an eye. Can anybody time it for me? Well, now, if the Lord descending from heaven, he does all three, and the shout was the message, and the voice is going to be the resurrection, this is a mighty long twinkle. I'm not making fun of it. I'm asking a serious question. How many years has it been since the cloud appeared and the Lord came, or the message came? And I can give you quotes where Brother Brown goes back in the 50s and he talks about the message. How long was that shout? Is it possible that we've got it wrong when we say the message was the shout? Now you say, oh, Brother Bram said it was. He talks about the mysteries, but he also makes a statement that all three of these things happen before the Lord appears. I thought the Bible said, and Brother Bram said, that he does all three of these while he's descending. How long is this coming going to be? Now, I think to create the confusion, or let me just say, to create enough to tweak your curiosity, that you'll get into it to prove me wrong. But that's all right if you can. Amen. Let's read what the Scripture says. And instead of reading it in English, let's read what it says in Greek. Now, there's none of you that know Greek, and I don't know Greek, but I've got a Greek dictionary here. And under each Greek word, it's got the English word. And you know, other languages, even like Spanish, you people who speak Spanish, you know that they've got their verbs and our adverbs and our adjectives different. We always have the noun, then we have the verb, then we've got the adverb, it just helps the verb, we've got the adjective that describes the subject. Well, other languages are different. Brother Branham does that sometimes. One of my most common statements is Brother Branham says, "Now I've heard Brother Green many times speak." Well, that's not proper English. I've heard Brother Green speak many times. You hear the difference?
Sure.
All right. When you read the Greek or the Spanish, and I might say this, and I'm not belittling anything else, but the voice of God, when they have people translate from English into another language, their policy is to say exactly what Brother Branham said in the order that Brother Branham said it. And sometimes they will count the words. Well, in a lot of languages, you can't do that. But if you take run and you put run in their language underneath that, and the next one says fast, it may say in their language, fast run. You understand? Well, now, this is what happens when you read it in the Greek. So I printed these out and they photographed them. And they're going to put it up there on the screen for you in Greek. And then we're going to read the English underneath it. So let's see if it works. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this is verse 14. Nope. You got the wrong one. I want the Greek one. I want the big one. Now you got it. See that Greek there? You can't read that. Now, this is the way it's written in Greek. If, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so also God, the having fallen asleep through Jesus Christ, will bring with him. Now, that's the way it's written in Greek. And if you put the English translation right underneath it, but what does it say in English? Doesn't it say something about if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so also God will bring those who have fallen asleep, Jesus will bring with him? But it's not in the same order, in the same sequence. Let's look at verse 15. This for to you we say, now here's that statement, in word of Lord, that we the living, the remaining, to the coming of the Lord, not may precede the having fallen asleep. Now, if somebody wrote that in English just like that, we'd have difficulty understanding it. But in the Greek language, that's the way the adverbs, the nouns, the adjectives, the conjunctions, that's the way they all fall together. Now, let's look at it again. This, for to you we say in word of Lord, that we the living, the remaining, to the coming of the Lord, not may perceive, seed, the having fallen asleep. Aren't you glad there was somebody that knew Greek and could put it in English for you? Do you appreciate that? You don't. Okay, I'm going to read the rest of them to you anyway. Verse 16. Because himself, the Lord, with a shout of command, with voice of archangels. Now what does that say? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with trumpet of God, shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, you know in what the King James says, you can read that and put it in perspective. But if you read it in Greek, now, verse 17. Then we the living, the remaining together, we which remain, with them shall be caught away. Now that word caught away is the one that we use for rapture. That's the word, the perception of the rapture happens. And when you read about rapture, it means like an eagle swooping down and snatching its prey out of the river, or capturing the game, or sudden taken away. It's not a process. You didn't pass that magnet over that machine shop and one by one by one those little shavings jumped up there. They all just leaped up there to it and left the trash behind. But here we go. Then we the living, the remaining together with them shall be caught away in clouds for meeting of the Lord in air. And thus always with the Lord we shall be. Verse 18, so encourage one another with words these. You see, even in that short one, encourage one another with these words. But the Bible says comfort one another with these words. Can you think of anything that is more comforting that the Christians have to believe in, and that someday there's going to be a resurrection and a rapture?
Amen.
For those that are asleep in Christ, for those that are alive and remain, we're going to wind up in the same destination. Now, in church history, it tells us that there was quite a controversy in the early church about this resurrection of the dead and this catching away. Because there was some that wanted to believe that if they died before the Lord came, they didn't get to go to heaven. So Paul is answering that question when he writes this, and he says, don't worry about it, don't fear. Those which are alive will remain, but those which are dead will rise first.
Yes.
And they'll go with us, and we'll all be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Can you see where he comforted people who were concerned about their loved ones that had died?
Right. Yes.
Oh, well, they're not here, and they won't be raptured, and they got... that they won't be in heaven. And they would live a life of unhappiness because their family, their loved ones died before, they died too soon. But Paul comes along and teaches to them, don't worry about it. The dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
And later on, Paul teaches us, we'd go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, where did Paul get these statements from? He didn't get them from the Scriptures, the Old Testament. But he says he got it, the Word of the Lord. How many of you understand that's important?
Yes.
Because that's the way God communicated with His people. I don't have time to go tonight in detail, but let me have you read this. Read in 1 Kings, I believe it is.
Yes.
There's a case there where chapter 13, 17, 18, 20, and 21, where there was one prophet said this, and the other one said, well, I'm a prophet also.
That's right.
And they both claimed to have the word of the Lord.
Right.
And one man died because he didn't obey what the word of the Lord said. It's that portion of Scripture where, you know, a lion got one and a bear got one, and they believed their own doctrine. They ran back in the house and a snake bit them. First time I really heard that was when they tried to make Brother Jackson out of that, when he took the truth of the message to him, and he was the lion and I was the bear, and then they ran back to their own denomination, leaned against their own doctrine, and they died because of serpent seed. Well, I can't interpret that away, but that's where some people get in, and oh, that's very spiritual to some people, because it's almost like somebody wants to, well, it's just like Eve. She wanted to have full knowledge. She wanted to have full understanding. So don't try to interpret anything. Just believe what God says and let God interpret it by bringing it to pass.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
When Brother Branham comes along and he preaches about the rapture, what does he depend on? He would say, the Bible says so. Why? Because Paul had a word from the Lord.
Amen.
And where did Paul get that word from the Lord? He didn't have to have Scripture for it. He had met the Lord on the road to Damascus. But Paul believed in angels. And there was times of visitation of these angels. And Paul, being the first church age messenger, and coming up on this controversy of people saying, well, if you die, you won't be around for the Lord to come, so you can't be a Christian, you can't inherit that because you won't be here. Paul straightens that out. And then when Brother Branham comes along to preach it, here in the last days telling us, look, here's what Paul said, that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven, and there will be a shout, a voice, and a trumpet. Now, whenever they printed the book, the sermon the first time, they abridged it. They grammarized it themselves. And I'm not saying it was all wrong, but I think they emphasized things in the wrong way, and people started believing something. Now, let's take it the way they printed it the first time. It's volume 1, and I think it's book number 7. And it's on page 25. Did you copy that page? I gave it to you. Okay. Now, here's the way it is in volume 1. I want you to notice this great thing that is taking place here now. Now remember, this is not exactly Brother Branham's words. This is somebody else's words, grammarized it. The word says in the 13th to the 16th verse that there are three things that have to happen before the Lord Himself appears. The first thing to happen is a shout. Next a voice. Then a trumpet. Let's read again and see if that's right. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with a trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now that's the King James Version. These three things must happen. A voice, a shout, a trumpet. Now, he gets them in the wrong order. Did he or did he not? Which is first? Did it say shout? But here you got voice. Before Jesus appears. Before Jesus appears. Well, according to their interpretation, he's descending. Jesus does all three of these when he is descending. A shout is the message. And that right there establishes a fact in so many people's minds. Now, let me just say this to you. If somebody were to shout something, what would be the purpose of the shout? Would it be to inform you of something? To alert you? Could you say that a shout would be a message? Hey, wake up! But when it says the shout, no, it says a shout is the message. Now, that's not what Brother Branham says in here, on the tape. But that established a doctrine that the message, Brother Branham's message, is the shout that Jesus is doing while he's descending himself. So, if this is happening, then Brother Branham must be the Lord Jesus. Now, you may have never looked at it that way, but that's exactly the way they teach it. It goes forth first, the living bread of life, bringing forth the bride. God has his own way of doing things. And he never changes his policy. He is the unchangeable God. Now, here's something Brother Branham taught, Amos 3:7. He said that he would do nothing on earth, but first he would reveal it to his servants, the prophets. Just as certain as he promised it, he will do it.
Amen.
And that is true. Whatever God's going to do, he reveals it to his prophets. But that doesn't make the prophet the Lord Jesus. Look at Brother Branham in Mighty God Unveiled. Did he say that Moses was God? Did he say Joshua was? While they had that word and they were delivering it, they were God veiled in flesh. While Brother Branham was delivering this, he was God veiled in flesh. But Brother Branham was not the Savior. After he delivered that message from God, that word from God, he was that mouthpiece of God while he's doing it, he went back to being Brother Branham. Just as Moses did. And a majority of the people that we call brothers and sisters today, they believe that, and now then they have changed it, and Brother Joseph has become that God veiled in flesh. And I'm not against Brother Joseph. I don't think he believes that. But that's what we face. And when people go around saying, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Catholic, I'm Pentecost, Brother Branham said, that's no different saying you're a pig.
That's what he said.
Amen.
What about saying, I'm a message?
Yeah. Right.
That's as denominational as I know.
Amen.
Because you exclude everybody that don't believe it like you do. That's a denominational.
Amen.
That's Nicolaitanism.
Right.
And they will put anybody else out, not fellowship them, disfellowship them, expose anything they can in their life, the other person, to defame them, destroy them, because they're not like them.
Right.
Well, that's no different than a pope.
Right.
I don't want to be like that.
Amen.
I want to believe that all that the Father has given will come.
Amen.
Now, one of them should be lost.
Amen.
And all that's of the seed of God will come.
Amen.
Not one of them shall be lost.
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham is going to preach the trail of the serpent. Well, a lot of people, they've never taken time to really look at serpent seed doctrine, but it explains a lot of things. But they get shocked when I tell them that 150 years ago, the Jewish rabbis wrote books about this. You know, one question we always get asked is, How did that seed get through the ark? You know, the Jewish rabbis teach and believe and have written books about it, that Noah's wife was a descendant of Cain. And they can give you the genealogy. It don't mean anything to you and I as Gentiles, but that genealogy to them, so-and-so was this, so-and-so, and so-and-so begat this, so-and-so begat that, and they trace it right back. And she's a descendant of Cain. Some of you people knew that already. What are you? If you're led by the Spirit of God, you're a son of God. And every one of us had enough of that beast in us that we need to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Because all those that didn't have the breath of God in them were beast. Natural, brute beast. We'll probably bring you something. I don't know whether I got courage enough to give that out. I think I'll just print it and give it to you and then run. Run and hide till you all get over the shock. We have come through the church ages, but according to Malachi 4, we are promised in the last days a return of a prophet in the land. I think I knew that man. I had the privilege to know one like that. God used the Elijah spirit five times, separate times. First in Elijah, then in Elisha, then in John the Baptist, then for calling out of the church, and finally to the remnant of the Jews. Five times. That is the number of grace. Now, that is from volume one of the Rapture book, book number seven. Now let's go to it when they reprinted it and did not edit it or abridge it. It's volume five. Book number six. Anyway, we'll have it. So let's go to the the same section that I just read you there. Let's read it from the unabridged section. It's tape number The Rapture. When did they print it? I didn't write that down. Anyway, it's the Rapture Unabridged. The word rapture is paragraph 128, tape number 65, December the 4th. The word rapture in the Bible is not even used at all. We just put the word there. The Bible says, caught up, being caught up. We read here in 2 Thessalonians now, or 1 Thessalonians. It is the order of this great rapture that will take place in the last days. Listen to this here. We're going to begin here with 13th verse. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others that have no hope. For we believe Christ died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now remember how we said that in Greek a while ago? For we say this unto you by the word of the Lord. Well, the same thing Paul said. Amen. That we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. That word means to hinder those that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend. Now listen close. The Lord himself shall descend from the heavens with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. Paragraph 129. I want you to notice a great thing taking place here now. Don't miss this. See, now notice the word says here in 2 Thessalonians, but it's 1 Thessalonians, that there's three things. Notice from the 13th to the 16th verse, there's three things that has to happen before the Lord himself appears. Now, if Brother Branham is the Lord Jesus Christ, well, I've already seen him. He's appeared. So then these three things have already occurred. Did I miss that or just that? So Brother Branham cannot be the Lord himself. unless these three things have already happened. The first thing happens. Notice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet. Let's read it now and see if that's right. See, for the Lord himself, 16th verse, shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Three things happen. A voice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet, has to, and at that time somebody was coming at the back door. Look how Brother Branham mixes it up. It says there should be a shout, a voice, a trumpet. And Brother Branham hears a shout. What is the shout? It's the message going forth first. The living bread of life bringing forth the bride. Now, what did volume 1 say? Did it say it like that? Well, let's just read like that. A shout. What is the shout? It's the message going forth. First, the living bread of life bringing forth the bride. Now, God has a way of doing things, and he never changes his policy. He never changes it. He's the unchanging God. In Amos 3:7, he said he would do nothing on the earth until first he revealed it to his servants, the prophets. And just as certain as he promised it, he'll do it. Now, we've come through the church ages, but we were promised in the last days, according to Malachi 4, that there would be a return again, a prophet in the land. That's right. Notice his nature, what he would be like. He's always. God uses that spirit five times, once in Elijah, in Elisha, in John the Baptist, call out the church and the remnant of the Jews five times. Grace, Jesus, faith. And it's the number of grace. See, all right. Now, remember the message is promised. And when all these mysteries has been all so bundled up by a bunch of ecclesiasticus, it will take a direct prophet from God to reveal it. And that's exactly what he promised to do. See? Now remember, the word of the Lord comes to the prophet, not the theologian, the prophet. He is a reflector of God's word. He can't say nothing. He can't say his own thoughts. He can only speak what God reveals. Even to the prophet Balaam, when he was tried to be sold, sell his right, he said, how can any prophet say anything but what God puts in his mouth? It's a thing that God does that you can't say nothing else. And you're born that way, no more than you could. If you can say, I can't open my eyes when you're looking. See, you can't. You can't reach your hand when you can. You can't be a dog when you're a human. You're just made thus. And God is always too in the ages through Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the Elijah. In the ages gone by, when the ecclesiastical group would get anything all mixed up, he would send a prophet. Raise him up from nowhere. He belonged to none of their situations. And speak his word. Called off a scene and gone. Just rugged men of the truth of God. And it's always the way you could tell him. He said, if there be one among you, you who is spiritual or a prophet. Now prophets, there's such a thing as gift of prophecy in the church. But a prophet is predestinated and foreordained for the hour. See, yes, sir. Now, if a prophecy goes forth, two or three has to sit and judge whether that's right or not, for the church can receive it. But nobody sat before a prophet, because he was absolutely the Word of God. He was that Word in his day. See, that's God veiled. You've seen God reflect. Now, God has promised to send us that again in the last days, to bring the bride out of that ecclesiastical mess, and the only way it can be done. It'll never be done. The church can't receive Christ. We, the Pentecostals, we can't carry this message on the condition the church is in today. How are we going to carry out the end time when everyone against the other? That's where we are. It's a mess. It's done gone to denominations. And any time, I ask any historian to say different. Every time that a message went forth in the earth, and when they organized it, it died right there. And Pentecost done the same, that they all did. The Pentecost had come out. Your Assemblies of God, when your forefathers and mothers came out of them organizations back there, and the old General Council shouted and praised God and talked against those things, and you turned like a dog to its vomit and a hog to its wallow, and done the same thing that they did, and now so ecclesiastical you shut up your bowels of compassion. You have to have a fellowship card before you can even associate with you hardly. You won this. God given you a message like that. Instead of you going ahead and just keeping humble and go ahead, you had to turn loose and organize your group. And where are you all at? The same bucket. That's exactly in God's spirit moving on. I, the Lord, have planted. I'll water it day and night, lest some should. He ordained these things to be, and he must send this. The first thing comes when he starts descending from the heaven. There's a shout. What is it? It's a message to get the people together. A message comes forth. First, now lamp trimming time. Rise and trim your lamps. What watch was that? The seventh, not the sixth. The seventh. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Rise and trim your lamps. And they did. Some of them found they didn't even have any oil in their lamps. See? But it's lamp trimming time. It's Malachi 4 time. Say amen.
Amen.
It's Luke 17. It's all these prophecies that he can perfectly set in order for this day in the Scripture. We sit living right there. There's no... See, these things happen, my dear brother, sister. When God in heaven knows, I could die on this platform right now. You just ought to walk around a while. It's tremendous when you see God come from the heaven, stand before groups of men, and stand there, declare himself just as he ever did. And that's the truth. And this Bible opens. See, we're here. And the denominational system is dead. It's gone. It'll never rise again. It'll be burned. That's what you do with the husk of the field. Flee from it. Get into Christ. Don't say, I belong to Methodist, I belong to Baptist, I belong to Pentecost. You get into Christ. If you're in Christ, there's not a word written in here but what you believe it. I don't care what anybody else says. And then God being manifested, because when he pours the Spirit upon the Word, what happened? Just like putting water on any other seed, it'll live and it'll bring forth of its kind. You say, I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That don't mean that you're saved, not by a long ways. Now, the Holy Ghost is a seal unto the day of redemption. That's the earnest of your expectation. So, I'm not going to interpret it. But Brother Branham can't mean you can have the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost from heaven above and not be saved. He's talking about the Holy Ghost people are claiming to have. By their evidence of speaking in tongues or shouting or something or belonging to a certain group. Look at here. You're a triune being. You are inside this little fellow. Here's the soul. The next is the spirit. Next is the body. Now you got five senses in this body to contact your earthly home. They don't contact the rest of it. You got five senses of the spirit. Here, love and conscience and so forth of that. But in here is where you live. That's what you are. Didn't Jesus say the rain falls on the just and the unjust? Put a kookaburra out there and a weed out there and pour water on them and keep them under fertilizer and things like that. Won't they both live with the same water? Sure will. What is it? One of them will bear a kookaburra because that's all he is. The kookaburra would raise his hands and shout just the same as a wheat. And what we hear Sunday night? If you don't have the fruits of Jesus Christ, you're not a Christian. But if you do have the fruits, you are a Christian. Because bad trees can't bring forth good fruit. But good trees bring forth good fruit. And there will come false anointed ones. You got my tape on that? Oh, if you'd call one of them and say, oh, you are... The Lord himself. I say that there's going to be a resurrection.
Yes.
There's going to be a translation.
Amen.
I believe there's going to be a shout that we'll all hear and we will know without a doubt that the Lord's coming.
Amen.
I think Brother Branham's message tells us that if we'll listen.
Amen.
And we'll hear it correctly.
But
if you're claiming something that is not his message and not the truth, you're not shouting the right message. And you're not bringing unity and the bride together. You're dividing it and separating it. If the shout was the message was to be the bread of life, to produce sons and daughters of God and bring people together.
Yes.
Not divide and separate. I say this because I'm very pleased with it. I have never contributed to the division of a church. You will not find where I went anywhere in the world and split a church. There are some that feel that that's their calling. That's their ministry. to go and cause division and separate people. That, to me, is not the leadership of the Holy Ghost. I tell the brothers that go out from here, you do not go anywhere and Tucson tabernacleize anybody. You go out there and teach them Christianity. Let the Holy Ghost bring people's lives together. And it will bring people together even if they do have differences. There is no excuse for disfellowshipping and refusing to fellowship somebody. How can you say you love them if your actions is passive hatred? Oh, they're wonderful people, but I don't want to have anything to do with them. I wouldn't advise you going around them. That's not love of God. That's passive hatred. I believe the Lord's coming.
Amen.
I think it's past due.
Amen.
And I think it's wrong for somebody to teach that it's already happened.
Amen.
Because I haven't seen this catching away. It's translation. The resurrection. And I believe there's going to be an earthquake. I'm going to show you before I'm through with this in the next couple of weeks that there can't be a resurrection without that earthquake. And that earthquake could be our cover. They'll wonder what happened to us. And I include myself. I plan to make it. I think I got a promise. Come go with me. There's going to be such a catastrophe in this world that it's going to rock like a drunkard. They're going to say, well, what happened to those people? Well, I guess that's some more got lost in the time of catastrophe. A time of trouble that has never been since the world began. And then somebody says we're in the millennium. I tell you, I think there's so much of the scriptures they don't know.
Yeah.
And if somebody teaches that the Lord has come and we're in the millennium, I believe that's error. That's false doctrine. You're teaching something that God hasn't said or done. Paul had to deal with this. He named two men and said, they're teaching that the resurrection's already taken place. And you know, they had an excuse. Maybe they had seen those Old Testament saints walking in the streets of Jerusalem. And they said, I know it happened. I saw them. But I know now that it hasn't happened because I haven't heard of anybody seeing any. And why does Brother Branham say the day's going to come when you just see them walk away? Or suddenly you'll see your loved one. Or somebody goes missing. I don't think Brother Branham was just talking. I think that's what Brother Branham had from the word of the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm looking for that day.
Yes.
What a day that's going to be.
Amen.
We're not going to see Jesus first. We're going to see each other.
Amen.
We're going to see the dead in Christ.
Right.
And Brother Branham says, that's what will change us.
Yes.
You know, suddenly your ambition, your interpretation, that'll make a believer out of you.
Amen.
I hope. But if you're so convinced that it's already happened, what are you going to do when you do see one? I got a little wooden cross that hangs in my car. I brought you folks some back from Israel. But I see Sister Gilmore back there tonight, and her brother, Brother Ford, made my family some. And they're about this high, and they're made out of wood by Bob's hands. And he put little tacks in them, and around each one of them he put little red fingernail polish so it looks like blood. And every time I look at it, I think of Brother Bob. And I said, Brother Bob, you knew I loved you, and someday I'm going to see you again.
Amen. Right.
I know what the cross did for me, but that's reminded me that I knew Bob Ford. And he's gone to be with the Lord.
Yes.
How old was he, Sybil? 90? 93. Lived a long time on this earth. But you know what? He's going to live again.
Amen.
In this flesh,
amen.
I'm going to see Brother Bob Ford. Amen. Don't take that away from me and tell me it's already happened. You know why? Because Paul told me and told you, comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
What comfort is for you to tell somebody, oh, it's already happened, you missed it? That don't give you any comfort. Look up. Your day of redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Folks, when you see what's happening in Israel right now and the political situation in the world, I can say it can't be long.
Amen.
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 Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
God bless you. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Now that's the third coming. That's a millennial reign. When he comes back to settle the millennial kingdom. But there's coming a time when he's going to catch us away. You got your wedding garment on? This old world, as we stand, can never hold me anymore. But I'll be gone, for I've made my consecration, and I have my wedding garment on. And again, this old world can never hold me anymore. But I'll be gone, for I've made my consecration, and I have my wedding garment. One more time. Oh, this old world can never hold me anymore. But I'll be gone, for I've made my consecration, and I have my wedding garment on.